Attention all ministers and aspiring ministers of the gospel. You are invited to join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church, for the Making of a Minister's Training Session, Part 2.
I'm Pastor Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. I have over 30 years of pastoring this great church, and I'd like to share with you the information that God has allowed me to learn so that you could grow up in your ministry and realize your full potential.
Making of a Minister Training Session Part 2 will take place on Saturday, July 14th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Bethel Deliverance International Church located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. Registration is free. Call 215-885-2585 extension 314 to register. That's 215-885-2585 extension 314 to register. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. Plan now to be there.
God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you at the Making of a Minister.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
See, this is the warfare that we're in. We can dance, we can shout, and we can play with Ephesians 6, but we're missing the essence of the warfare. It's for control of your mind. When you leave here and you lay down on your bed at night, what do you think about? In verse 27, they have the open mind that receives. They see it. This is the fruit. Here it is. But in verses 28, 29, and 32, we see the unconscious mind. It says the people are strong, the cities are walled, and very great. Note the adjective, very great. Very. You know, they don't just say great. And I say that because when you look at the Bible, there are times we use redundant speech. Well, the Bible says you got to try the spirit by the spirit. No, it doesn't. It said try the spirits and see which one is of God. Well, how are you going to do that? By the spirit. Well, what if the spirit of the trier is wrong? The only way to try the spirit is by the word. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, I don't want to hear it. So when they looked at the enemies, if you notice Moses' instructions when he sent them, he did not tell them to draw a conclusion. He did not say draw a conclusion, because conclusions are for the leader to draw, because the leader hears it from God. If the leader vacillates, then God can't do it. So when God says, Bethel, you're going to build this church like this, I can't have 75 people coming to me. God showed me this, and this is how we're going to do it, because then I'll vacillate. It's like when the architect showed me the first drawing that I showed at the banquet, and I fell in love with it. It was aesthetically beautiful. The board liked it. I was like, yeah, I got along with God. He let me make a fool of myself and show it at the banquet. Yeah, you liked that, didn't you? Yeah, everybody liked it, didn't you? Yeah, well, that ain't what I told you to build. And if you go through with that, you ain't going to get the money to build it. I called the architect. I said, I was wrong. Shoot, redraw it. God wants a tabernacle. You got us moving into a temple. That's just a monument to Lambert. Tear that thing down before we have to tear it down through an earthquake. And I came back and told the whole church, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I got you all hyped up. I was like a guy who asked you to marry him, had a job, then quit after you said yes. Moses said, just go up and evaluate it and then bring us back the report. All I want the people to hear is the land what I said it was? That's it. I want you to see if there are people in it, but I don't want you to draw an evaluation. God may take somebody and put them in a position where they have administrative oversight. It is wrong for you to say, well, if that person's going to be in that position, I ain't serving. Watch. Because I know they don't like me. What you've just said is they're stronger than me. Because we must understand the only reason why they're there is because God wants them there. And the day you say that somebody is greater than God, you wind up just like these people. And notice what it says in verse 32. It says, well, after they had drawn the conclusion, God let them see everything. The children of Anak, verse 28, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. He let them see all the ites, right? And every one of these tribes had a reputation of ghetto warfare. Every one of them were heathenistic, idol worshipers, who fought. In fact, the Hittites were so bad. The Hittites had the reputation. Like, I went to Los Angeles one year. And while I was in Los Angeles, I'm driving through the neighborhood to get to where I had to be. And all I could see in my mind was watch out for red and blue. I made sure I had on beige and brown. I wasn't getting off that plane at LAX and nothing red or blue. I'm a child of God, but I ain't no fool. I made sure my sneakers were white, my trousers were beige, and my shirt was brown. They weren't going to say I was from no gang. And I'm driving around down through South Central, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm looking. I'm just trying to find the blue and the red because of the reputation of the Bloods and the Crips. Well, when they saw the Hittites, it was the same way. They saw the Hittites. The Hittites were such fierce warriors that every thought about them was warfare. The Hittites were the first nation to go into the mountains and extract iron ore to use it to make swords and things that were devastating. They were what we would call the early on Spartans. They were early on Spartans, just vicious warriors. So when the spies saw them, they like, oh my God, we can't take this land. We're just farmers. The hardest work we ever did was build houses and build buildings for the Egyptians. We ain't no warriors. So they said, you know what? Let's just go tell them we can't do it. Why? Because in their minds, they forgot who sent them. Now, the position that you're occupying, if God puts you there, what do you care who's in another position? If somebody walks where you once walked, you should be shouting for them because you've been promoted. See, they saw them and went back to the bondage where they forgot the killing of the firstborn in Egypt. They forgot the tree in the waters of Marah. They forgot the opening of the Red Sea and then the closing of it to drown the Egyptians. They forgot the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They forgot the God on the smoky summit of Sinai giving them the Ten Commandments. They forgot God coming down and speaking to them and revealing his glory in a way that they've never seen before. When you forget God, then your enemies become larger. When you forget Isaiah 53, then cancer becomes bigger than Jesus. When you forget Isaiah 53, then heart disease and diabetes becomes bigger. But when you put them in their proper perspective, in your unconscious mind, you tell the devil, it doesn't matter what I see. I have a testimony that says God healed me before. He's going to heal me now. Listen, I don't care what anybody else says. They say God don't heal no more. That was for the Bible. That's their problem. That's not my problem. I serve a God who did not change. He's looking to see if I can find the same kind of faith. People who will cry out to me, who will not give in, who will not allow the devil to steal their joy, steal their health, steal their praise, steal their peace. Cast down imaginations. They said, we can't do that. Now, this was the thing that stopped. This was the thing that stopped. God always sends someone to tell you you're wrong. Now, it would be nice if he can do it through a friend, because then it won't hurt so much. If a friend tells you, well, you know what, you're just going off the deep end with all this. You need to just stop. You really do. Now, if friends offend you, then God will use somebody else, and they won't be so nice with it. And so God has Caleb stand up in verse 30, and he stilled the people, the Bible says. That meant he said, now, y'all be quiet. Be quiet. And it says, here's his response. Let's go up at once, because he went too. Caleb and Joshua were with the spies. But notice what happened. They remembered what God did, and the other people remembered what the Amalekites did. Who do you remember? Is there anybody in here that can honestly say that God has failed in any one of his promises? Then what makes you think he's going to fail in the next ones? We refuse. God sets us up for glory, right? Sets us up for glory, just like here. Sets us up for glory. Now, do you know the hardest people to receive a glory move are those who have had a devastation in their past? Because their mindset is, I remember what this was. My mother, bless her heart, she used to always say to me, I can't stand to see anybody out in the street. I said, why? She said, because I came up through the Depression, and I remembered seeing people that way, and I just, it's in my mind, I can't let nobody be out in the street. So she would give her money, pawn her jewelry, whatever, to enable people. Because in her mind, she had formulated a thought. There's some of us that really don't believe God can provide for us. Because we have the same safety valve. There's that same situation still working, and we are afraid to let it go. We're afraid to let it go. Because in our mind, all we see is the repossession of our automobile, the loss of our dwelling, you know, the emptying of our savings account. That's all we see. Well, watch this. But we don't see what the other person is losing to help us. We don't see that. So when God sends Elijah to the woman, it is critical you understand. Elijah has been fed by ravens and a supernatural hand of God to touch the brook, Kereth. So he is prone to believe that God can do this. Now, ravens are unclean birds that don't like people. But God has this bird bringing Elijah meat and bread every day. When God stops the brook, the Bible says it dries up, and stops the birds. Notice what he does. He says, now get up and go to Zarephath, because a widow woman, someone worse than you, is going to provide for you. Now, brothers and sisters, here's what we do because we're capitalistic. And I was guilty of this until my study in this particular subject. Elijah goes down to the woman, and the Bible says when he enters into this particular borough, he finds this woman gathering sticks. I believe it is divine impression of God that has him call out to the woman, get me some water. Fetch me some water, he says. Fetch me some water. Now, remember, we're in a drought. The drought's going into its seventh year. She turns to go get him water. Where'd she get water? She doesn't turn to him and say, I don't have any water. She turns to get him the water. Now, you can, you know, hypothesize anything you want. The fact of the matter is, she had water. She had enough to give this man. Now, when she turns, that pushes the faith in Elijah. He says, if she's going to get water, then she's the one God sent me to. Because God will never send you to somebody that doesn't have it.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
4318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.